Okay, I'm gonna get a little sad girl for a second. But Mother's Day is around the corner, and if your mother is still in your life, a really unique gift that you could get is My Life in a Book. How it works is that every week, mylifeinabook.com will send your mom questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or custom questions that you wish to ask, and then she can either type her response or record her voice. And My Life in a Book compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. And then they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. So it's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Woo! If you're interested, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code Lexi at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. And use code Lexi for 10% off today. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast. And I'm excited for this week. I'm excited for these upcoming weeks. I feel really excited about the future. Ready for some newness. Winter is slowly but surely coming to an end. I was in New York last week, and it really gave me a pep in my step. Getting out of town always feels pretty nice. California has had some sprinkled in sunny days in between the rain, and that does not go unnoticed. Little recap on my week. Was really active this week, went on several long walks, several climbs, was running a little bit, was able to attend this Vans event that was downtown last week, where they had a band called Paris, Texas. I guess they're a band. They kind of gave like hip-hop boy band. And I had no idea when I was going to this brand event that it was going to feel like Flogna. It was going to feel like a little music festival. They had made a giant half pipe and then carved out a rectangle where the performers could play. So sick. Also, there were so many hot guys. I have been in the same circles, going around meeting the same people or standing with the same people for months and months and months. And it was nice to be around a ton of new people or even acquaintances and get to get a little closer with them. It was a good event. Wore all denim, felt fun. Paris, Texas, incredibly charming as performers. They just looked like they were having so much fun. I wore all denim. I have really begun to adore denim within the past year. Some of my favorite denim are Icon denim. I like to get, there's a little oversized. I have two pairs, a light wash and sort of a medium dark wash. And I roll them like Sophie shorts. I think that trend is really fun. It makes the jeans that are already casual feel that much more casual. Almost like you're wearing sweatpants. And then I have two pairs of denim from Still Here, which is a New York brand. I have their cowboy pants. So they have cutouts in the knees. I always get compliments every time I'm wearing them. People love them. And then I have their low rise with a drawstring, and they're really soft. I feel like they're maybe made of cotton, actually. I should look this up. Still Here. They're the cool jean, the world's softest jeans. It's made out of cloud fabric, the softest denim in the world. Made from 100% cotton using advanced weavewear technology to achieve a super airy and drapey feel. Okay, I was gonna say they felt like cotton, but they look like denim. That's a fun pair, but the cowboy ones are proper denim. This segment of the podcast would make such a better segment on a YouTube video. So I honestly should make a little weird series. If you're not familiar, that's one of my longest standing series on YouTube where I talk about what I've been wearing, eating, impressed by, reading, downloading, and doing. But I'm in the mood to just continue because I'm looking through my camera rolls. I scroll through because sometimes that helps me jog my memory in terms of what I've been up to for the past week. And on Wednesday, because the Vans event was Tuesday, and I was looking at my outfit pics, which I should post because there are some fun pics. But Wednesday, I went to L'Assorted, which is in my neighborhood. It's in Silver Lake. This sandwich was the best lunch sandwich I've had in so long. It's on focaccia. It's different. If you're in the mood for a sub, go across the street to Bodega Park. In this case, Bodega Park was closed because no one in the city works. So I go across the street to L'Assorted and I get their prosciutto sandwich. And it has lemon ricotta and fig jam and arugula. And it was so good. I was eating it dancing. And you know that's all it takes for something to be good. And then I decided to take a little walk around the neighborhood. Got a little lost. Ended up walking through a section of my neighborhood that I've never seen before, which is actually one of my favorite activities, is getting to see a new sector of my neighborhood that I love. That was quite inspiring. I'm almost 28. I turned 28 on March 15th. And as much as I love adventure and exploration, I'm also looking forward to roots and settling and seeing gorgeous homes in my neighborhood where I have an apartment and seeing an entirely different or elevated life for myself 5 minutes driving. It was inspiring. It got me excited about the future. I have no idea where I will settle down or have a family, but it's fun to see options nearby. Then I took my weekly trip to Altheim. I love it there. I have to have that ceviche once a week. And so I went with Drew. And I always like getting a little dressed up. I've been having a lot of fun with layering lately. I've been very much in a more is more with my outfits lately. I love the look of jewelry, but most of the time, I don't enjoy having rings on my finger when I'm washing my hands out in a public place. It's uncomfortable. Earrings are fun until they get too heavy. Necklaces, my hair gets caught in them. Bracelets, I feel like they're always moving up and down my wrist and they're bothering me or getting caught in my sleeves. Anklets are fun until I start wearing socks and I haven't taken it off and then they're rolling up underneath it. I'm very like fussy about it. But then every once in a while, I go through a phase where I can't get enough. I have so many piercings, very random fact about me. I have like 8 or 9 piercings in my ears. I have my belly button pierced. I had my nipples pierced at one point. I had my septum pierced. So there have been periods of time where I want jewelry everywhere. And I've been kind of going back into that where I'm putting as many earrings in as possible, wearing 2 or 3 necklaces at a time, bracelets and rings on both hands, both arms, and then wearing several layers. So having a t-shirt and a sweater and a jacket and a ton of jewelry and then a pair of pants and a skirt over top. And it's been fun. I really like the trend of wearing a dress or a long top over pants or wearing a skirt over pants. It's a fun way to feel a little bit more elevated and just have more fabric around. Yeah, I'm looking at my outfit pics from this night and I had 3 or 4 rings, 2 necklaces. One was a giant statement necklace and one was the Lexi necklace. Then I had bracelets, these really interesting earrings that they attach to the top of your ear, but you pierce it in with like one of your lobe piercings. I'll have to make a YouTube video about what I'm talking about because I want to include photos of the sandwich. I want to include photos of the jewelry and you deserve that, but it's also where my head's been at. So I want to talk about it here. I mean, all of my content mirrors each other. Also, I had a video go up. Did I already talk about that last week? I had a vlog go up, so you should go check it out. And then I vlogged a little bit in New York. I need to look at that footage. And then on Thursday, I have 2 friends that were born on leap year. And it was a leap year. So one was turning 6 and the other was turning 7. I had to go say hi. The first one was a house party and they hired a mime from Craigslist. It was so funny. I was not expecting that whatsoever. When my friend said there's a little surprise, hint is, shh. I said, is there a mime? There was a mime. And the mime was making us act. So I was the princess. Someone else was the giant. I had to run around the castle, kiss a prince who became a frog, and then kiss the frog to become a prince. Very entertaining. And then I moved from that party to my other friend's party that was at more of like a dancey spot, like a bar with a dance floor. And that was fun. Here's the thing. I really was not looking forward to my birthday. I wasn't in the mood to do anything. Nothing sounded exciting to me. A dinner felt trite and boring. I just wasn't looking forward to it. And then the typical places I go out, I was like, ugh, that's so typical. That's so expected to have a party there. But at the same time, this is what this chapter in my life looks like. So I may as well accept the fact that I have a birthday on a Friday and host at the place that I always go to. And one of my favorite restaurants, it's just a really fun restaurant. It's a fun Italian restaurant that had a car drive into it. So it's been closed down for a while. It just opened up again. And I'm thinking, let's have a dinner there. Let's go out dancing, where I often go out dancing. And let's not bat an eyelash about it. Is it expected? Sure. But why does that make it any less fun? I'll do something crazy for my 30th, but for 28, this seems appropriate. And then on Friday, Emily and I walked around Beverly Hills. We did a nice long neighborhood walk, saw some gorgeous houses. And then Saturday, I had a day of silence and solitude, and I kept it all to myself. I just existed solo on Saturday. I said, I'm watching TV. I am laying in bed. I'm going to acupuncture. You will not hear from me on this Saturday. I need a day of rest. And then Sunday, my friend Ella and I went apartment hunting, just looking around to see what's out there. Our rents got raised, not by anything crazy, but enough to take a look at what else is out there. And we looked at two houses and an apartment building. And honestly, what I have right now beat them all. So that was good to note. And we went to Honey High and had breakfast. We went to In-N-Out for dinner. When you want it, it hits. There are certain meals, of course, shouldn't be a part of your regular diet, like fast food or whatever. But what was the other one? Popeyes. I had Popeyes recently, like I had the works. I had the chicken tenders, the biscuit, the red beans and rice, the coleslaw, the fries, some sort of soda, I imagine. And at In-N-Out, I had a double-double with grilled onions and their spread with pickles and lettuce and well-done fries. And it was delicious. It was so good. Then I got myself a new book. I had just finished last week Joe Dispenza's Becoming Supernatural, which is a book that I plan on reading again and again because there's no way you can digest that all the first time around. It's a thick book with a lot of dense information. I adored it though. I just started on Audible a book called Nettle and Bone by T. Kingfisher. It's an action adventure novel that's a fairy tale that involves magic. I found a girl on YouTube that was talking about the 100 best books that she's read, and this was ranked in her top 5. Maybe it was her top 2. And I've never read anything like this, so I'm giving it a shot. I'm on chapter 2, but I'm not in yet, you know? I'm not there. But I think it's important to keep your imagination flowing, and maybe an adult fairy tale would do me good. And then on the opposite end of imagination and fairy tale, even though hypothetically you could argue that this is imaginative as well, but I purchased Morgan Housel's The Psychology of Money. And I read the first chapter last night. I have it with me in my bag. I want to finish it this week. It seems like a really quick read. I'm interested in seeing how this plays out. In the first chapter, they tell the story of a janitor who lived in a modest house. And when he passed, he had $8 million to his name, $2 million which was donated to his children, $6 million which was donated to, I believe, the local hospital and the local library. And everyone was so confused. How did this janitor come up with so much money? And he just invested in some minor stocks and saved his money and lived below his means. And it panned out for him. And then they give the story of another man who was Ivy League educated, had all the resources in the world, who effectively went bankrupt, lost all of his homes, vacation homes and such, and was left with nothing because he was living so far out of his means and being reckless. And the behavioral difference where you can assume that someone with all the resources in the world would end up better off than the person who was modestly living when that's not actually the case. Let's see, what are the other chapters? Because I am very interested in this book. I was debating between 4 books. One is Million Dollar Weekend, which is the surprisingly simple way to launch a 7-figure business in 48 hours. Potentially a little gimmicky, but you know, the clickbait got me. I guess it didn't actually get me because I didn't buy it, but I took a photo of it. And then Split the Difference, which was a book on negotiation. The subline is negotiating as if your life depends on it. And then 0 to 1, which is Notes on Startups or How to Build the Future. But I had someone DM me saying that Peter Thiel, who's the author of that book, is an evil, evil man. I was like, oh, I just picked this at random. I think I'd heard of it a couple times, so figured I would add it in the mix. Okay, I was gonna look through the contents and the different chapters of The Psychology of Money, but they're kind of vague. For example, like chapter 12 is called Surprise. Like, I don't know what that's going to be about. Where is my bookmark? No, did my bookmark fall out? That's so annoying. Good thing I know exactly where I am. I only read one chapter, but I'll keep you posted on that book. And then I highly recommend Joe Dispenza's Becoming Supernatural. I don't even feel equipped to discuss that book yet. I literally think I needed to read it a second time to discuss how powerful neuroprogramming is. He's really bringing the science to this world where hypothetically, I guess not hypothetically, he's kind of proving the hypothesis that your life can actually change drastically right in front of your eyes. The aspects of your life that were the hardest might be the reasons that you're ultimately so thankful to be who you are and where you're at. That's not even giving it a good description. How would I do this? How can I do this? Lexi, you're so good at words. Why can't you discuss this? It's because I'm intimidated, truthfully. I mean, it discusses your energy centers and quantum physics and actually, he doesn't use the term visualization. There is one chapter about mind movies, but it's more than visualization because you're putting yourself in a way where you actually feel that you're living the experience. Then there was a whole chapter about the pineal gland, and that one it didn't sink in. Like, I tried so hard. I was like, I'm not getting this. But the case studies, because I think stories are one of my easiest ways of learning. I learn best through stories, and then I think I teach best through visuals. Like, I'm a lover of painting a picture and giving an analogy, but there was a lot to go through, but I highly recommend. And then last night I went home and I started reading, and then I went to town, which is parentheses my term for getting high. Going to town! And I wrote down some ideas. I was so high that I couldn't even write in between the lines. So my notes are messy. But I was really thinking about the difference between LA and New York as industries and as their cultures and as transplants, okay? If you're a native Angeleno or a native New Yorker, you are eliminated from this equation. But the difference between the transplants, I think one of them is that LA people don't read the news. People in New York love to read the news. People in LA don't care to read the news. And then I was also thinking about the Kardashians because I was in Ella's apartment when this was all happening and she was watching old episodes of the Kardashians. And I was thinking about why we're so intrigued by them. And then on a personal level, why I'm so intrigued by them. And I think it's because they're a family, which seems so obvious. But as an only child with just my dad, the idea of to be a member of this exorbitantly wealthy family that all own these enormous houses within one small neighborhood of Los Angeles or outside of, with all your babies and your sisters and your brother and your mom and everyone's just there, that in itself intrigues me because that would be one of my dreams. I would love to be a part of not specifically that family, but a family that was that large and that close emotionally, but also in proximity. Wait, I got ahead of myself. I had a list of new podcast segments, and the first one is I read you the news, parentheses, or I just read you headlines, keep you informed, see what's going on. I also had a list of video ideas, video series, one I already made on TikTok, but these were my additional list, which was for a TikTok where I troll a little bit and I make immune-boosting cookies, and they're just regular cookies. I just don't wash my hands first. Sorry, that's so stupid. Ranking the labels in my fridge just based on their graphic design. Then reading billboards in the sexiest voice possible, like, injured? Call Jacob. And then looking at food under a microscope. I think I may have talked about that on the podcast before where I found this Instagram reel of this girl who put a little bit of sweet potato under a microscope and it sparkled. It was glittery. And I want to see if all things are like that. What does coffee look like under a microscope? What does a Cheez-It look like under a microscope? I have to know. These would most likely have to be video series, but you know, I'm running into a common theme in this episode where I'm like, oh, this is a fun thing I want to talk about. A visual aid would be, dare I say, crucial. But Sunday was perfect. I had a really good night's sleep. Tyra comes back today. She was in New York all last week. So I'm going to have a roommate again. I did tour a one-bedroom apartment I toured 3 one-bedroom apartments yesterday within the same complex. It is hard. It is tricky to find a well-located, well-priced one-bedroom apartment. It is always more affordable with roommates. I didn't realize how much more affordable it would be. Most of the ones I was looking at, which were on the lower end, I would be spending an extra $1,000 a month just to live alone. It's like, Tyra's great. I don't know if I need that, but I am getting older and I would love to have my own space. So I think I'll live with Tyra as long as I want roommates and then we will decide. I think we're very much on the same page about that. But this week was nice. I'm feeling excited for changes. Oh, I didn't even finish what I was saying about my birthday. That my birthday is coming up and celebrating these two friends' birthdays this Thursday. I loved seeing them feel so loved. I loved that everyone that they loved was all around to celebrate them and made me realize that I do want a birthday party and I do want to dance and I do want to have a little dinner and that is what I'm going to do. Okay, enough of me. Let's get into your questions. My Instagram handle where I ask for questions every week is Lexi. You can follow to be a part of next week's episode. So I'll begin reading them, but first, a word from today's sponsors. Let's talk wellness, ladies. I know some of you love yourself, a new wellness brand, something to hop on, and let me tell you about Fleur Marché. They deliver simple, quality, and affordable wellness solutions. Founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy to understand plant-powered wellness products. Their plant-based wellness patches deliver ingredients topically. These ingredients are then absorbed into the skin and into the bloodstream. You just stick it right on your skin. They're vegan, cruelty-free, latex-free, tested for pesticides, herbicides, and other contaminants before and after production. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for the At Lexi listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code Lexi at checkout. Orders over $50 get free shipping. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code Lexi for 20% off your first order. You know what I wouldn't miss at all? The vicious week before my period when I feel like crawling out of my skin and the cravings. Oh my God, I could have eaten my own hand if it was rolled up in batter and deep fried. But now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control and Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The beauty of adaptogens is that they help your body adapt to stressors, so the chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. There are 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony right now, and the biggest benefit is women saying they feel like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. That's HAPPMAMMOTH.com and use the code Lexi at checkout. And we're back. Starting off with something in the same realm of things to look forward to, feeling like the future is bright, Cinnamon Juice wants to know ways to welcome spring. Classically, spring cleaning. I think with the approach of a new season, it's great to have a cleared mind, a cleared space, out with the old to bring in space for the new. I spent the weekend going through my pantry and the fridge, discarding of things that have expired, things that I know will never be put to use. I just got new bedding from Brooklinen. I've had the same Luxe bundle forever. And this is so cute. Can I take a moment? I don't think that they'll be upset that I said this. But Brooklinen wanted to sponsor a YouTube video and an Instagram story for me, which there's a code if you want to get a discount. It's LexiL. They have no idea that I'm talking about this. But they said they would send me a new Luxe bundle. And I'm like, no, I'm good with mine. Like, I love it. I would love some linen sheets. And they're like, we're more than happy to sponsor your video with the existing bedding that you have, which sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised how many companies are like, no, we want like you to promote the new thing. But it's like, if I already have it and I love it and I've had it for 4 or 5 years, let me talk about it, because clearly it's built to last and I still adore it. I don't know why that just made me so happy that they're like, for sure, just show off the one that you use and love. I don't know why it felt nice. But I also got a set that's linen, which I think is very spring and summer-like. Looking forward to that. I think new bedding is a really nice way to make a room feel new for not very much money, because your bed takes up such a large portion of your bedroom. And so when it's a different color, it really changes the space. But I think spring cleaning, and if you have a divided wardrobe, just start like bringing out the lighter tops. We're not there yet, but just start getting excited for the warm weather. Like, summer's gonna be here before we know it. June is only 3 months away. That's not that bad. Such a Girl wants to know my favorite place in Los Angeles. I don't go there often, but I really like Elysian Park. It feels like a jungle in certain parts of it, and I've never had a bad time there. Taylor wants to know what's a lesson you've learned so far in 2024. That working with your friends is not as scary as you think it would be. I'm sure a lot of us learned it can be a bad idea living with your friends, doing business with your friends, but I'm in the creative space along with most of my friends, and we're not starting businesses together. We would just be collaborating on projects together. And that is actually incredible. One of my friends was telling me about a project that she's working on, and she's a photographer, and another one of our friends is a producer, and another one of our friends is a fine artist, and she's doing the stills for it. Another friend is sculpting and painting something, and then another friend is producing the score for it. And then there was two other people that were doing things I can't quite remember because this is friends in New York. And all of them have their own little skill set that bring together this larger project and piece of work. And I hire a friend to record Pick My Fit. I've recently taken on someone to create the videos for the podcast, and I'm working with someone now in hopes to create a better social media for the Lexi Instagram, and it has felt so rewarding. It's a risk that I don't know why I wasted so much time hesitating over, and I'm so glad I took it. Jukier wants to know if I'm more excited for new Casey or new SZA. You know what? I'm gonna say Casey only because it comes out on my birthday, and I'm really excited to ring in my new year with a new album. Also, I was a huge fan of Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour album, and I was a huge fan of SZA's Control. I was less of a fan of Starcrossed, which was Kacey's most recent album, and I was less of a fan of SOS, SZA's most recent album. So I'm excited for both, but only Kacey a little bit more because it comes out on my birthday. Ruby wants to know, how do I feel about being friends with your ex? I have no idea because I've never been friends with an ex. Lucy wants to know tips to become more assertive when you're a chronic people pleaser. I am learning how many of you are people pleasers. How many of you are friends with people that you don't even like? How many of you are giving your time away to people that you actively do not enjoy and they don't enrich you in any way? Of course, there are gonna be times you have to make sacrifices, but if it's just a friend that you... What are my tips? Because right now I'm attacking nature and nature. Like, I'm not a chronic people pleaser. Therefore, I'm like, how do you do this? It's like, I understand. You know, you want to make sure everybody likes you. You don't want to let anyone down. But I really believe that people respect you more when you stand up for yourself, when you tell people no, and you don't give your time to just anybody. I do think you should give your manners and politeness to everybody, but you don't have to give your time. If people are asking favors of you, I think it's more than fine if you don't have the bandwidth to say, sorry, I just don't have the bandwidth to help right now. You don't need to offer a million other ways, like, I can't help you with this, but I'm more than happy to find someone else that can do the job. No, you are more than fine to just say, I'm so sorry, I can't help with this. Or if someone invites you on a trip and you just don't have the money for it, to say, I would love to, but I'm just not financially in a place. And it kills me to say that. The honesty will be respected. Madison asked, if I could only recommend one thing to instantly improve a daily routine, what would it be? To call a friend. My days are always better when I call or FaceTime a friend during the day, even if it's just for a short little 5-10 minute conversation, just to see one of their faces, to hear their voice, it always improves my day. Ava asked, how do you deal with friends who talk a lot about themselves and show off material items? This is either A, something that you are willing to accept about this person or something that you're not. If this is simply an aspect about who they are, some people are a little self-absorbed, they're a little materialistic, they're a little shallow. You either can accept it or you can't. When you're in that mood to talk about yourself, to be a little materialistic or shallow or whatever it is, great, go to this person about it, but don't be upset for them not being able to meet you where you are. There are other friends that can meet you there, but don't be upset with someone just because that's not who they are. Caitlin wants to know my favorite comfort movies and shows. Love the pod so much. Thank you. I love the pod too. My favorite comfort show, I just started watching Revenge on a whim. It's on Hulu. It's a 2010-2011 soap opera style drama. I think it's on ABC or was, and takes place in the Hamptons. It's a girl whose father was framed for a terrorist flight and she's seeking revenge, and it is the right amount of juice. I don't do too well with TV shows though, because I don't have very much self-control around them. Favorite comfort movies, probably The Parent Trap is one that I try to watch every year or two. Holes with Shia LaBeouf, also a comfort movie. What a Girl Wants with Amanda Bynes. Oddly enough, another movie I loved as a kid, so it's a comfort movie, is Kangaroo Jack. Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. Those are some of my favorites. Samantha wants to know my favorite ice cream flavor. If it's soft serve, I'll get a twist with rainbow sprinkles. And if it's like scoop ice cream, I'll either do chocolate or green mint chip. Gwen wants to know how to move on from a situationship. This is always trickier to move on from than a proper relationship because you're moving on from a fantasy that you never got to see through, which is a lot more frustrating than being with a partner and getting to try every little thing to make the relationship work until ultimately just ending it, or a big incident happening that was a break of a boundary or an absolute deal breaker. So moving on from a situationship, you have to understand that what you felt about that person wasn't necessarily real. Also, if the situationship ended because you wanted more or they wanted more, you have to be able to have the respect for them to allow them to move on, or have the respect for yourself to realize you want more and that's fine, and to go find it. Paris wants to know how to cope with feeling trapped at home. I know this is really literal advice, but don't underestimate the power of literally cracking a window to let fresh air in. For example, Saturday, I even left to go to the grocery store and for acupuncture, but I was home basically besides that all day. I had to change up the pace by opening a window. I lit a candle to change the smell. I played some music just to change the environment. And I think these literal tips of having a different soundtrack to play, to get into, start playing music from a different decade to make you feel a different way, because you can really change the energy in a space by the sounds and the smells, and it'll change your energy with it. Diane said, I'm contemplating grad school, PhD at NYU, tips for moving to New York City and doing long distance with my boyfriend. If you guys can try to see each other once a month, I think it's doable with phone calls, FaceTimes in between. Long distance is tricky, but if you know there's an end date in sight, it's doable. I think long distance becomes a lot more difficult when it's a bit endless. Like, they have a life somewhere and you're trying to move to create another life somewhere else, and you don't know when you're ever going to meet together. But if you're going for somewhere for a couple years and they can visit you and there's space for them in your existing life and you have a plan to come back together, being a lot more heavy-handed with the compliments, the flattery, gifts, just making them feel loved and secure when you're not able to physically be with them is important, because you have to make up for the lack of your physical presence. Just make sure you're being more thoughtful with your boyfriend and making him feel still needed and loved and adored. Aloisa asks, what's the perfect life after retirement? I mean, I'm only 28, so I'm not near retirement. Truthfully, I like working. I like having a job. I like having a mission. I like having a task. So I would want to continue that. The idea of not working and kicking my feet back up until the day I die would probably kill me faster than anything else. Retirement would look like leisurely travel, nothing too overly ambitious because I don't know how old I'll be, but maybe ambitious. I don't need to knock myself yet. I don't know what future Lexi will look like and feel like, but philanthropy would be important to me, making sure I'm using my time and my resources to give back. Ugh, that felt like such a beauty pageant answer, but I really did mean it. I swear that was sincere, but I heard it after. I'm like, girl, I'm like, but you did mean that. I don't know. I got to focus on what I want my 30s to look like. I am interested in building a larger brand. We'll see what that looks like. As you heard from the earlier part of the episode, the books that I was looking at, I think, paint a little picture into what I'm interested in the earthly realm. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm going to end the episode here. Keep it short and sweet and fun. And I love you all so much. If you liked the episode, share it on social media. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. XOXO, Lexi.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.